I got some good news for you this morning. I love the Word of God. Anybody love the Word of God? I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 3 and we'll read through verse 7. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 7. The Apostle Peter, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul begins, of course, by celebrating the fact that you and I, who have confessed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have become the sons and the daughters of God. We've been begotten of God. And as sons and daughters of God, we have become heirs of God. And as heirs of God, we have received an inheritance, one that is incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, that is reserved for us in heaven. Praise the Lord. And then he goes on to say, but while we're here, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, wherein you greatly rejoice. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just put a little period there? Woo! Born of God, have an inheritance, kept by faith while we're walking this life, wherein we greatly rejoice. Well, we can get happy about it. We can put a little period or a comma and say amen. But Peter goes on to give us insight into the reality that as long as we live in this earth, in a world that is in a state of degeneration, in a world with the presence of Satan, sin, human will, and volition, that our faith will be tried, that we will incur times of adversity, opposition, perhaps hardship from time to time, right? And of course, the reality is in this life, there is opposition. Peter went on to say in the fourth chapter of 1 Peter and the 12th verse, what did he say? He said, listen, don't even think it is a strange thing when you encounter these things. One translation says, don't be surprised by the fiery trial that you are passing through. That's the objective. As though some strange thing has befallen you. Sometimes we, as men and women of faith who have been taught in the Word, we understand our covenant, we understand God's love for us, and at times we find ourselves in precarious or difficult situations, and one of the first things we tend to ask ourselves is, I wonder where I missed it. Well, friends, the reality is you probably haven't. It's called the adversities and oppositions of life. They are common to the human experience because of the world in which we live. Amen. But I want you to notice in verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, I want you to notice these words. It says, though now for a season. Everyone say for a season. Now, no one should be living in crises all the time. If you're always in a crisis, then there's just something wrong with your approach. Or you're given to drama. You know, there's some people, they're just given to drama. You know, no, none of us should be living in crises all the time. But there are seasons of opposition, seasons of adversity, seasons where your faith may be tried. The Apostle Paul faced these times of opposition. He faced those times of adversity. I want you to look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's look in verse 8. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 8, we'll also read verse 9. The Apostle Paul said, "We are troubled on every side." Have you ever noticed that most often trouble seems to come with company? It's not just one thing, but it kind of, you know, seems like it's on every side. I call it the devil's pile-up technique. You know, try to overwhelm you. Paul said, "We are troubled on every side," but now I want you to notice his mentality, "yet not distressed." He said, "Listen, I got some things going on, and they're pretty serious." He said, "But I'm not going to allow myself to enter into the emotional stress and distress and anxiety of the situation." He said, you know, "We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed." He said, "Perplexed." Do you know what the word perplexed means? Anybody? Confused. That's what perplexed means. He said, "I'm going to tell you, I get a little confused sometimes about why things happen the way they do. Why situations unfold the way they do. Why individuals respond and behave the way they do." He said, "But," everybody say, "but." "Not in despair." He said, "I refuse to allow myself to adopt a mentality of defeat and futility where my attitude is, what good is it? What is it worth?" He said, perplexed, but not in despair. He said, "Persecuted, yeah, but," everybody say, "but."
"But."
"Not forsaken." "Cast down." Tell me the next word. "But not destroyed." Some Christians need a "but" revelation. And I'm not talking about the part you're sitting on this morning. I'm talking about the conjunction. "But." The psalmist said, Psalm 30 and verse 5, he said what? How's it start? Psalm 30 and verse, "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning," right? In Psalm 34 and verse 10, he said, "The young lions may lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want for any good thing." Verse 19 of the same chapter, he said what? "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all." Woo-hoo! Jesus said in John 16 and 33, he said, "All right now, in this world, in its state and condition, is going to get renewed, but right now, you're going to have some tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Shh, that's good news. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You need a butt revelation." Hey, hallelujah. Listen, Paul had opposition in life. You and I will have opposition in life. But the good news is none of it overcame him. None of it stopped him. And none of it will overcome you nor me. None of it will stop us if we will maintain the proper mentality in our seasons of opposition. Because whether you realize it or not, friends, the highest form of human captivity is a wrong mentality. I said the highest form of human captivity is a wrong mentality, because if I am thinking improperly, I am believing improperly. And if I am believing improperly, then I am powerless. powerless to change my situation. Amen. You know, sometimes we coin phrases and they lose their significance, but the reality remains the same. I cannot be a victor in life if I maintain a victim mentality. If I'm going to be a victor in life, I must abandon a victim mentality because it will hold me in defeat. Sometimes people say, Brother Marty, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've been through. And friends, you're right, I do not. And I am not belittling diminishing those experiences and maybe their impact upon your life. But one thing I do know, you can't drive forward looking in the rearview mirror. Amen. You know, when Moses passed away, God, the very first conversation he had with Joshua, he didn't pat him on the back necessarily. He was very frank. He said, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. He said, now, arise, get up, get moving. This is a new chapter. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. Woo! Paul had the right mentality. I call it the mentality of faith. He had some stuff he endured and went through, but he kept the proper mentality. Romans chapter 8, beginning, I think, around verse 35. He said, who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. King James, nay. Sounds like a donkey. No. In all these things, we're more than conquerors. Through him who loved us. And then he went on to say, for I am persuaded. Anybody persuaded? That neither death nor life. Don't ever make the mistake of thinking death is defeat for a Christian. They just defeated the ultimate enemy of death. And when they left that physical body, they were released into the glories of heaven. Oh, and they would not come back if they could. Believe you me. Woo! He said, death nor life, angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me and you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Does that make anybody happy? So, we have to maintain a proper mentality in these seasons of opposition. What do we do, Brother Marty? I'm in a season of opposition. What do I do? Well, do exactly what you've been taught from this pulpit, from these pastors, through the years, and even presently. What is it? Well, right here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, in the words of the Apostle Paul. What do I do? Right here. We, having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. This is a very strong key, although very simple. It's a very strong key to navigating and negotiating our way through seasons of opposition and adversity, and that is believe God's word, and what? Speak God's word. Believe God's word and speak God's word. What should I say, Brother Marty? Why don't you say Psalm 91 and verse 2. The Lord is my, I will what? Say of the Lord. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Why don't you say Psalm 18 and verse 2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Doesn't that beat saying, what in the world are we going to do? No, man, let's believe this word. Let's speak this word. This is a strong key to navigating successfully through the seasons of adversity and opposition. You know, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Hebrews 12 and 2, you know the scripture. It says, looking unto Jesus, that's where our gaze must remain. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now notice this phraseology. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, I found personally, thinking about for the joy that was set before, enduring the cross, I have found personally in my life, and I've been in full-time ministry, and I'm not talking about my first Bible study. I'm talking about full-time ministry for 25 years and then 7 years part-time. So we've been in this for a while. And I have found through life, my own personal life and experience, that some of my greatest seasons of advancement, success, blessing have most often been preceded by some of my greatest seasons of opposition, adversity, hardship, the enemy trying to keep me from seeing the joy. What's on the other side of that thing? Trying to talk me out of that blessing, trying to make me sit down, give up, enter into despair, and quit. Most often, some of your greatest seasons of blessing and success and advancement can be preceded by some of your greatest seasons of adversity and opposition. That's why it is so crucial to maintain the proper mentality in the midst of that season and do what James said in James chapter 1 and verse 2, count it all joy. Why? Because you know something. You know this present opposition, this present adversity is going to be my future launching pad. It is not going to be my defeat. It is not going to be my failure. This test is going to be my testimony. There's joy on the other side. Woo! Somebody better shout in here. Count it all joy. Whew. Now here's the good news. You know, I try not to just do canned sermons. Doesn't mean I haven't, you know, preached these principles before. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, in this morning, everybody right here, this is important, you need to hear it. Many of you have been in a season of adversity, of opposition. Many of you have been standing and believing for certain things to come into fruition that have not yet manifested. And once again, sometimes we coin phrases and they lose their significance, but it's not merely what is spoken as much as what is unctioned. Are you listening? And so the word of the Lord came to us saying, listen, many of you have been in a season of opposition, in a time of adversity. Many of you have been standing and believing for certain things to come into fruition. And this morning, we're going to draw a line in the sand. And we're going to decree by the unction of the Holy Spirit that things are beginning to turn around. Are you listening? Things are turning around. Do you know what a turnaround is? A turnaround, friend, is a change in the course of direction. A change in the course of direction. That means perhaps things have been going in a particular direction that we could say maybe perhaps has been unfavorable. But then God turns that situation. And all of a sudden, it starts going in a different direction. Woo-hoo-hoo! Psalm 126 and verse 1. Psalm 126 and verse 1, the Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Now get the picture. The Jews were slaves in Egypt. They were making bricks out of straw and mud. They were depressed. They were oppressed. But then the Bible says, God turned that thing around. And it says specifically in Psalm chapter 105 and verse 37, it says, he brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. And look in verse 43. Woo-hoo. He brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. One day, they're in bondage, they're oppressed, they're down, and the next day, God has turned their captivity and has radically altered their state and condition. I tell people, never assume for a moment that your present state or condition has any bearing on your future potential or fulfillment, because God can change and turn situations around in a moment of time. Did you hear me? Never assume for a moment that your present state or condition has any bearing on your future potential or fulfillment, because God can turn things around and radically alter your state or circumstance in a moment of time. Woo, everybody say, turn around. Job, chapter 42, you remember Brother Job. Now, he went through a hard time, friends. Lost everything. But the Bible says in verse 10, God turned the captivity of Job. Turned that situation around and started it in a new direction. And guess what? Got everything back, double that he lost, including his kids. Not the same ones, but different ones. God can restore. Amen. God can turn situations around. So maybe you're here this morning, and I know some of you have been, and you feel like you have been in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. Maybe you feel like you've been in the lion's den, like Daniel was in Daniel chapter 6. You know, that's the most interesting story, Daniel chapter 6, because Daniel was doing everything right, and he still ended up in a precarious situation. And don't you just know that the morning the king's guards came to get him, to take him to the lion's den, don't you just know he just knew God was going to zap these guys as they escorted him? But he didn't. And then they got to the edge of the den. And I'm sure on the inside, he's saying, as I have said many times to the Lord, if you plan on doing something, now would be a great time. Have you ever seen? Hey, sometimes I just get real with it. Hey, if you plan on doing something, now would be a good time. But he didn't. And Daniel was thrown into the den. And that's where most Christians throw in the towel. Well, I'm in the den. I thought I was doing everything right, and here I am. Look at my situation. But the story doesn't end there, friends. You got to read the rest of it. I think it's verse 23. It says, in the morning, they came and they took him up out of the den, and there was no manner of hurt upon him. God can so deliver us from what we think is a lion's den that when we come up out of that thing, there's no residue. There's no evidence of the fact we were ever in it. Are you listening? No manner of hurt upon him. Maybe you feel like you're at the Red Sea this morning, and man, you're facing that wall of water, and Pharaoh's been breathing down your neck. I got some good news. Because I'm telling you, by the unction of the Holy Ghost, you're going to come out of that fire. You're not going to smell like smoke. You're coming up out of that den. There'll be no manner of hurt upon you. You're going to pass through this present sea of opposition, and that which has been pursuing you is going to get swallowed up just like that Egyptian army. Woo! Listen, I I've been through seasons of opposition. I'll never forget, God gave me a psalm one time, and it's coming up, so it's for somebody in here. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Many of you have been in a season of opposition. The enemy has attempted to discourage and deter. But be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and remain steadfast and endure. For the tide is turning. The day of victory is near. The devil is defeated. And it's going to be a glorious year. Woo! So rejoice and be glad. And lift your voice and say. See, God will always get your mouth involved. Things are turning around in my favor. Victory is mine today. Now, I'm going to tell you, when God gave me that psalm, it didn't look like victory. It didn't look like things were turning around 2008 and 9 when the economy hit this nation, and I'm an itinerant, not a pastor. Let me tell you, hey, we had some opposition. And that fear tries to grip you. How are you going to put food on the table for your kids and pay your mortgage and do this and do that? And man, I tell you, we went through a season. But the Lord said to me, lift your voice and say, things are turning around in my favor. Victory's mine today. So I just started saying it every day. Things are turning around in our favor. Victory's ours. Things are turning around in our favor. And bless God, I watched it. Just started turning around. And not only did He bring us out, He took us in. Somebody say hallelujah. Now, where's the musicians? I want y'all to get up here and get in place wherever they are. Everybody come on in, come on down. Now, because I'm going to set some things up here. So, I'm declaring to you by the anointing of the Holy Ghost this morning. Now, you have to receive it, see, and embrace it. Oh, that was a good sermon. Well, if it's just a sermon, forget it. If it's a word of God to you and you embrace it and begin to, what, activate it, then it will become reality and operative in your life this morning, and you'll have some testimonies. Now, Lillian B. Yeomans, how many of you know who Lillian B. Yeomans is? Lillian B. Yeomans, she made this statement. She said, everybody right here, don't get distracted. Praise hastens victory. Praise hastens victory. There's something about praising God in advance that seems to activate that power and that word on our behalf. Everybody listening. Praise hastens victory. Let's read just an example here in Acts chapter 16. You know this scripture, Acts chapter 16. Woo, glory to God. Acts chapter 16. And beginning in verse 25, thinking about praise hastening victory. And at midnight, Paul and Silas did what? Pray. Well, now you got to pray, yeah. But you need to join something with it. They prayed and they sang praises unto God. And guess what? In a little bitty tight, quiet voice. No. All the prisoners heard them. Everybody in the prison heard them. And then I love the next phrase. And what?
Suddenly.
Suddenly. There was an earthquake. See, once you and I have prayed, yes, but then praised in advance, we qualify for a suddenly. I've heard this phraseology and I believe it. My celebration is a demonstration of my faith in the fact that God has heard my prayer and the answer's on the way. Are you listening? My celebration is a demonstration of my faith in the fact that God has heard my prayer and the answer is on the way. So here's what we're going to do. They prayed, they sang praises, and suddenly an earthquake came. And notice now, what does it say? The foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. everyone's bands were loosed, not just Paul and Silas's. We start praising God, and all of a sudden the glory of God and the presence of God comes in here, and shackles fall off of people. The depression goes, the oppression goes, the prison door comes off, those addictions fall off. Are you listening? So here's what we're going to do. Listen, friends, I didn't just come out here and make something up. I'm telling you, if you'll embrace this morning and believe it as the word of God for you, if you have that situation, if you don't, put it in your back pocket, pull it out later. But some of you are right here. And we are going to what? We're going to celebrate in a moment. We're going to start praising God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, I think it is, it says, having not seen, we haven't seen Jesus yet, we love him. Having not seen, in whom you love, in whom though you see him not, yet what? Believing, you do something. What do? Rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, I hadn't seen it yet. Well, neither had I. But I started praising God for it based on the word of the Lord. Getting happy over it. Celebrating the fact that he'd heard my prayer and this thing's turning around. And in so doing, I activated that word on my behalf. So that's what we're going to do. In a minute, I'm going to ask everybody to stand. And we are going to praise God in here. I'm going to count to three in a minute. And on that number three, we're going to lift our voice in a shout of praise. You say, well, I've just never shouted before. Well, this will be a good time to start. And nobody's looking at you, right? This is your shout. To God. I like that detergent for the tough stains. You got to shout it out. You might need to give a big old shout this morning. There's something about praising God before you see it that brings that thing into manifestation. And you might have to run. You might have to shout. You might have to dance. Whatever you got to do to what? Rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Because it's turning around. It's turning around personally. It's turning around corporately. Woo! Draw your line in the sand. Mark this day down. Write it in your Bible. And then come give testimony of it later. When you see it. Everybody stand up. Now on the count of three, we're going to give a shout in this place. What? We're just going to mark our territory, draw our line in the sand, scare every devil in New York. Woo! I better give somebody my glasses. Because I'm about to get happy in this place.